anyways, you know, every year they give these workshops on things to look for, things to be careful of, and I'm pretty good friends with Kimberly Kemp, and I've kind of shared this journey with her, and anyways, and so she said to me, how would you feel about presenting it in firsthand experience instead of having somebody tell you about it? How about if somebody told you about it that actually has been through it? And I find it ironic that I attended Brigham Young University. I have three children who have graduated from this fine university, and you always think if you get asked back to Brigham Young University, it's because you're going to do something great, you know, you've done something scholarly or religiously, but no, this has been the most humbling, horrible, devastating last couple years of my life, and I want to share it with you because I don't want, if even one of you can not have to go down this path that I've went down, then it will have been worth it. So that's me. I'm going to stand up here and kind of keep it real with you. I want to tell you about my husband, Rod. We were the traditional Mormon family. We were doing everything we were supposed to. Our kids were, oh, this is my other daughter, Kyria. If you have any other sons, she's available. but anyways.
I'm calling him in right now.
Okay. we had a great family. Our kids were on the right track. Everything was going great. We were literally planning our next, he had just turned 50. We were planning our next 50 years. The morning he died, he told me he was going to live to be 100. And then, it, just like all of you, something intervened, and that wasn't the case. And so I became a part of this club that we're all in, that we don't ask to be in, but we're in. One of the things that I want to start with is that every situation is so different. Every one of you could stand up here and share a dating experience or a, you know, falling in love experience or anything like that, and they're all different. But the thing that I learned most of all that I'm going to start with and I'm going to end with, and that is that we have to be able to understand the signs of the Spirit, not signs, but the signs of the Spirit. For me, it's peace. Making sure that you understand the peace that comes from the Spirit. And we're going to talk about how dating and falling in love, there's so many emotions that get involved that blur that feeling. And so, but I want to start with that. Above all else, listen to your gut. Listen to how you feel and what the Spirit's telling you. Okay, so when I was widowed, I felt like my halo stood a little taller. You know, there's a scripture that talks about us in Timothy. Anyone want to quote it? 1 Timothy? This is true religion, undefiled, to care for the... 1 James, sorry. To care for the childless and widowed, or the fatherless and widowed, yeah.
So,
that's right. So when I was widowed, like, I just felt like the fact that I lifted my head off the pillow was a huge accomplishment. Everybody was like, whoa, you know. When I went through a divorce, it wasn't the same way. Not that anybody was unkind, but we live in a church that we don't get divorced. And it certainly wasn't something that I planned to have on my resume. And especially my heavenly resume, I didn't want that title. And I really thought that I had done everything I was supposed to do so that that would not happen, and it wasn't the case. Where are we at on our slides, baby?
Still the first one.
Okay, let's go to the next one. So life lessons learned. No matter what we go through, the thing that I really struggled with when my marriage was falling apart after I was widowed was that something I had done, I wasn't worthy. The Heavenly Father would be unhappy with me. And that's been the biggest lesson, is that Heavenly Father still loves me no matter what. And any mistakes that we make in the dating world and in our relationships as we head towards that, we just need to remember that Heavenly Father will love us no matter what. Okay, about a year after my husband died, actually about 10 months after my husband died, I got asked out on a date. And for me, I decided that I was going to wait a year. It was going to be 1 year. I did have some widower friends that I had done some things with prior to that year. But for me, I had set a time of 1 year that I was going to wait. And I was a Kent Allen graduate. How many of you have been to Kent Allen's classes? Okay, not a lot of you. You got to go to at least one of Kent Allen's classes. He specializes in grief. He specializes in widows and widowers. He specializes in blended families. And I have attended every single one of his classes. I had his papers that, you know, said all of the things that you should do and you should look for in a mate and you should make sure. And I literally quizzed my ex-husband for every single thing. And oh, before I go on, let me just say this. My ex-husband is a good man with a good heart, and I'm not going to name him, and I'm not going to disparage him in any way. We actually are still raising two children together. He shares, he's given me half custody of him, and so I just want to say that this has been a horrendous thing that I've been through, but I don't want to disparage him in any way, shape, or form. Okay, back to Kent Allen. So I'm a Kent Allen graduate. I'm not kidding you. When we were dating, we sat down with those papers, and I was, you know, and what about this? And do you own a home? And do you have a church calling? And all of the things that Kent Allen says, do you have a temple recommend? And yet there were still some things that I missed. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the things that I missed. I'm going to tell you the things that I missed today. Okay, what's next? All right, so when we talk about, are you ready to start dating? Are you ready to start getting out there and have a relationship? This is what I've learned 7 years out. Time is your best friend. Time is your best friend when it comes to healing. Time is your best friend when it comes to relationships. And I think it's really important to ask yourself if you're happy. I think for me, I needed to take the time to be happy with myself before I could be in a relationship with somebody else. It's not, finding a partner is not to make you happy again. You have got to get through what you've got to get through before you can be a full-fledged partner, okay? One way to find out if you're happy and ready is to serve. That is, that's something that I've learned recently. The day that my divorce was final, and I was really down in the dumps and felt like, how did I get here? How did I get from widowed to a great man, to a marriage that I thought I was supposed to be in, that has now fallen apart, and here I am. And I decided that I was gonna try and start serving. And so I started reaching out to the sisters in my stake who were divorced, and not just widowed, but also divorced, because there's just a different, the church is getting so much better, but the fact of the matter is, if you're widowed, I see a lot of heads nodding. If you're widowed, that's one stigma, but being divorced is another stigma. And I realized I was one of them now. And so I reached out to them, and that was a real good, it took me a lot of years to get to that point where I could serve others. And so that's a really, for me, that's a really good way to take an account of yourself is, are you prepared to serve others? Can you reach out and serve others? Because that shows that you're healing. The other thing is, be okay with dating. Now, here's what I mean. I was like a rebellious teenager at that 1 year mark when I started dating. I was so secretive. I didn't tell my kids. My children who... She's not my kid. My children, who mean more to me than anything in this world, that I would give anything for, even my own life, and I didn't feel comfortable sharing with them my situation. For me, that is now a sign that I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to tell people. I wasn't ready to. I was being secretive about it. Now, 7 years out, my kids are like, Mom, get on Bumble. Mom, let's put a good picture. Mom, let, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I know that I'm ready because it's something I don't have to be secretive about. When I was dating my husband, so he was like my boyfriend at the time, and we would go to church, and I'd say, don't put your arm around me. Don't be physical with me. I don't want anybody to know. I wasn't ready. Like, that was a sign that I wasn't ready. And I, this is what I mistook it for, okay? I mistook it for, it's not that I'm not ready. It's that I don't want to sully the memory of my dead husband. I don't want someone to think that I've forgotten my dead husband. And that's something that you come to in the grieving process, is that you're not forgetting your dead husband. You're understanding you're part of an eternal marriage, but you're moving forward and trying to make a life for yourself for the rest of your life. Okay, and then also patience. You're already a part of an eternal marriage. For me personally, I think dating, just like when we were teenagers, dating is great because, you know, we learn, we have, I had a couple like breakups, not really, it was just a couple dates, but you know, those are hard and it's interesting to kind of go through those situations. Okay, let's see. Okay. All right, so let's go to, do we have dating? Yes, dating, okay. So when you start to date, first thing, be yourself. So I'm going to tell you something really interesting. I was always told that I was a great first date. That was such a compliment. I usually didn't go on a second date because by the second date, men, you're already wanting to talk about marriage. And that would just freak me out. But I was told I was a good first date. I remember I went out with a man that was 10 years younger than me, and he only dated women that were 10 years younger than him, so like 20 years younger. And he told me I was the best first date. And I thought, I wonder why that is. And here's why it is. It's because I didn't go on a date to become the person I thought this guy wanted me to be. I went on a date and I was just me. I was just like, this is the way it is. This is who I am. And that is so important. You have got to be who you are because you don't want to just be married just to be married and become somebody that you're not. When I consulted with my ex-husband about this, he wrote me a letter. And one of the things that he said is, I wanted to be married to you so bad that I was willing to be whatever you wanted me to be. So here's what happened. He became the person I wanted him to be. And then we got in our life and he realized, this isn't who I want to be. And that was really interesting for me because I had always told him who I was. And he was a good man and he really decided that he thought he wanted to be this person. But it turns out it wasn't the person that he really was. So so be yourself. Be yourself. Make friends. Probably the biggest blessing of this widow's conference was the first time I came, if you've been widowed 0 to 6 months, you're going to sit at this table. If you've been widowed 6 months to a year, you're going to sit at this table. Do they still do that?
No.
No, okay, so they did that. So I sat at this table. And there was one other lady with me. I don't remember who she was, but there were 5 men, and they were all widowers. And I was not interested in romantic anything, but I missed my husband as my best friend. And those men became my best friends. They are, to this day, they are my widower brothers, is what I call them. And I just loved having that relationship with them. And I kind of learned again how to interact, how to date by making friends. And then also remember, you are not the exception. And here's what I mean. I graduated from, hi, Kristen. Are they FaceTiming? they're FaceTiming with their daughter because she's in my ward. And they're practicing because Brother Hill is going to speak after me. And so they're practicing on me. So I thought I'd say hi. Anyways, okay. Okay, so anyways, you are not the exception. When I say that, there are dating guidelines that you're going to learn here this weekend. There are dating guidelines that Kent Allen, you know, puts out there. And you have got to be honest with those guidelines. There are dating guidelines that you need to set up for yourself, and you've got to be honest with those guidelines. You cannot think that you're an exception. Kim suggested to me that I go back and read or listen to some of the presentations in years past. One that Marnay, who's in the back, did, and Kelly Kimber did together. And it talks about dating and about being physical. And there was some pushback from the audience, because there was some desire to be more physical than what they were suggesting. And so when I listened to it and I listened to the audience responding to their presentation, I was like yelling into my computer. Like, I was like, no, they're right, that was me. So there were excuses that I made, and I thought I was the exception. And I'm gonna delve into those. Some are pretty personal. I'm gonna delve into those a little bit a little bit later. Okay, so in that line, let's go on to our next physical relationship. Don't cloud your decision making. So when we talk about dating, we often talk about getting physical, you know, the physical relationship. Let me tell you what happened in my relationship that really clouded things, okay? We had chemistry. Listen, I love to kiss. I had a good relationship with my first husband. At the funeral, my oldest son told the whole congregation that his mom and dad made out in the kitchen all the time. Like, I like to be physical. I like that. And, but the problem is, and we're going to go into this right now, is that when we are physical, it can cloud our decision making. Okay? And so now I would do it so much differently. I just got nervous because Kim came in the room. I'm going to calm down. I know. Okay. So I'm going to broach the subject of being physical and kissing and your physical relationship. And what I'm going to tell you is, it's okay to do those things, but you need to set some ground rules for yourself, and you need to stick with them. Okay. And don't let it cloud your decision. Let's go to the kissing. Let's go to the kissing. This is good. The capacity to defer gratification is a sign of real maturity. Elder Neil A. Maxwell. So let me tell you something about in my dating relationship. There was a man that I dated that was, it's interesting because my kids didn't approve of him, okay? He wasn't necessarily somebody that they approved of. But I learned something from him that I will always remember. And that is that his ground rules. His ground rules were set up, okay? So one of the things with him was that he'd always give me a good hug after the date. And I remember one time sitting in the car with him as we were talking, and he gave me a little hand massage. But we'd gone out for a few times, and I was really starting to worry why he didn't kiss me. And so it was about like the fifth date, and we were outside an IHOP. And I was like, so are you going to kiss me at any point? Like, how are we going to know, you know? And he's like, no, I know we have chemistry, but he said, for me, if I start kissing you, then it just goes down a road I just can't come back from. And, you know, at the time, I was like, okay, you know. Actually, I hadn't kissed anyone yet, so I was kind of excited. Since my husband died, I hadn't kissed anyone. But since then, man, I wish I would have listened to that advice. With my husband, that was one of the first things we did when we finally saw each other. As we kissed, and all these things went off, and we were just so, you know, thought we were so in love and so compatible. So physical, what's my next slide? Oh yeah, who knows what philematology is? Yes.
I don't, but can I make a comment on ground rules?
Yes.
Yeah, I think one of the things that still apply is the strength of youth panel.
Yes.
And talking about it, in an open way, can help, which doesn't preclude physical relationships.
Yes.
It's sets a set of ground rules where we don't need to create another
set. Yes.
They apply to us just like they do teenagers.
Yes. So what he said was that the For Strength of Youth pamphlet applies to us. And I know that's a hard thing to swallow because you all have been in healthy sexual relationships. Okay, but it applies to us even more because once we start down that road, it's very difficult to pull ourselves back because we know how wonderful it can be, right? So we have to be so careful. We have to be so careful as we go down this road. One of the things that would happen with my ex-husband and I, is that when I was starting to feel like something's not right, like what? He'd kiss me or he'd hug me, and he's a good kisser, and so all of those chemicals would go off in my body, and I'd be like, okay, it's fine. So let's talk about those chemicals that goes off. First of all, what's philematology? Anybody know? The study of kissing, okay? The science of kissing. So what happens when we kiss, okay? Kissing relieves stress. It releases the love hormone, which we're going to talk about in a second. All the happiness chemicals are released, and it clouds our rational decision making. So issues would come up when I was in this dating situation and we were getting serious, issues would come up, and one of the red flags was that he would agree with everything I said. Now remember, he thought that he loved me so much that he would become whoever he had to be with me, okay? So we would have a conversation, and the conversation would be really easy because he'd just agree with it. And I'd be like, whoa, and he'd just agree with it. And I'd say, well, no, you've got to have an opinion. I'm telling you, he could kiss me and it would all go away. I'd be like, okay, it's fine. So we really have to be careful about understanding the chemical reactions that happen in our bodies when we are dating. I'll tell you something else. If when I start dating again, one of my ground rules will be that my feet don't ever leave the floor. Okay, so if I'm sitting down with somebody on the couch and they lean over to kiss me, my feet are staying planted on the floor. You got me? I'm not going to be laying down. I'm going to keep my feet planted on the floor. That's a ground rule for me personally. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about the science of kissing. And being physical, basically.
Did you get any demonstration?
No.
Some of
those jet sets show up.
I mean,
they're on their way. It's a long way from Texas.
Okay. So let's just talk about this, all right? So relieved stress. Several studies have measured levels of the stress hormone cortisol before and after a makeout session. And in both men and women, there is a consistent, significant drop in cortisol. So if you are stressed, have a little smooch. Although it is, it says, but if you're at work, don't kiss anyone just because you're stressful. But anyways, so think about that. One of the things about the man that I dated that ended up becoming my husband, we had a lot of, our lives intersected quite a bit. We had been in the same stake. My first husband had been the high counselor over his wife. We knew a lot of the same people. We went to the same high school in San Diego. Like, there were just so many things like that I looked at as signs. I was like, oh, those are signs. What does the scripture tell us about signs? President Hill, what do the scriptures tell us about signs? Beware of sign seekers. So I was looking at all these, like, literally religious signs. I mean, people would see us in the hall, this widower and widow walking down the stake center holding hands, and they'd burst into tears because they knew his wife had died and they knew my husband had died. And, oh my gosh, isn't this just so beautiful? And the fact of the matter is that those signs are not what I should have been seeking for. What I needed to be listening to was my gut. And the problem is my gut was telling me something different, but then he'd kiss me and my gut would, the stress would be released. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how the physicality of the relationship can really affect the future of your relationship? Okay, let's talk about the hormones that are released when you are physical with somebody. The feelings of passionate love, however, do lose their, oh, no, no, not that one. First, I'm going to do this one. Can you tell I'm not used to these slide presentations? So let me tell you, let's talk first about these chemicals. The brain goes into overdrive during a physical relationship. It dedicates a disproportionate amount of space to the sensation of the lips in comparison to much larger body parts. During a kiss, this lip sensitivity causes our brain to create a chemical cocktail that can give us a natural high. Now, for those of us in the LDS faith that don't get high or drink, this really feels good. This cocktail is made up of three chemicals, all designed to make us feel good and crave more: dopamine, oxytocin, and serotonin. Like any cocktail, this one has an array of side effects. The combination of these three chemicals work by lighting up the pleasure centers in our brain. As a result, sometimes when you're in the beginnings of those relationships, we experience feelings of euphoria and addictive behavior. Oxytocin, otherwise known as the love hormone, fosters feelings of affection and attachment. Okay? I don't know how you're going to navigate this. I don't have all the answers, but I am telling you that that physical relationship has got to be separate than the decision making in who you're going to date and who you're going to eventually marry. While we're on that subject, my daughter, who just graduated from this wonderful university in family studies, so she knows, she's learned about relationships and studies. She shared something with me recently. Get up.
So you don't tell your mom things, she makes you tell other people. There's a really interesting principle that we talked about in one of my classes called the Zit principle, because I guess they can't come up with a better name for it. But it's a principle that the initial feelings of, like the feeling when you see someone, you have those butterflies in your stomach, or when you first kiss someone and all these chemicals come out, that lasts and is very strong for 60 to 70 days. And after the 70-day threshold, there is those things kind of even out. And so studies have shown that a lot of relationships end right around 60 days as that is kind of mellowing out. And so something that my professor, we talked about a lot in class, is that in the LDS culture, for people my age, people tend to get engaged and married very quickly.
In this age, too.
In this age, too, yeah. For all of us. For all of us. And that's something we need to be aware of, is that those initial feelings that come, those initial attractions that come, and those initial things that get us through the first 2 months of dating are not lasting things that can carry us through a long-term relationship and a marriage.
Smart. Our kids are smarter than us, aren't they? Okay. Let's read this quote. I love this quote. Who wants to read it for me? Anybody want to read it for me? Do I have to read it because the microphone? I have to read it. Okay. The feelings of passionate love, however, do lose their strength over time. Studies have shown that passionate love fades quickly and is nearly gone after 2 or 3 years. The chemicals responsible for that love and feeling, adrenaline, dopamine, norepinephrine, and the other one, dwindle. Suddenly, your lover has faults. Why has he or she changed, you may wonder. Actually, your partner probably hasn't changed at all. It's just that you're now able to see him or her rationally rather than through the blinding hormones of infatuation and passionate love. At this stage, the relationship is either strong enough to endure or the relationship ends. Our culture tends to put such a high value on romantic love that many people feel the attachment stage is the failure of love. Okay, funny story about this, and I have permission to share this. When I was dating my second husband, he never had bad breath. like in like we'd be somewhere, we'd go on like a family trip, and he'd be in his room with his kids, and I'd be in my room with my kids, and then we'd go down for the free breakfast buffet, and I'd give him a kiss, and he didn't have bad breath, and he hadn't brushed his teeth, and I was like, this is amazing. You do not have bad breath. And then we got married, and we'd been married for a while, and he started to have bad breath, and nothing had changed. And so we joked about it, because it was like, all of this stuff starts to wear off when you start to live real life. So you really have to step back and be logical about the decisions that you make. Another thing that you can do as you're going down this path is you've got to be able to explain to your best friend or your brother or your sister or your bishop, you've got to be able to explain your relationship with this person without making excuses. Okay? You've got to be able to say, for example, let's say that they don't have a job. Okay? They don't have a job. And if the man that you're dating doesn't have a job and has a really good excuse, you need to be able to explain that and have someone else say, oh yeah, that makes sense. Because if you can't explain your relationship in a way that you're proud of, then there's probably some excuses being made. Okay? Now, when we talk about the physical, yes, Kim. And Kim and Dawn were a good example of this, because I remember her telling me that they were friends. They'd known each other, they were friends, and the last step was to figure out if you had chemistry, right? So everything else had lined up, and so they were, so then the next thing was, do we have chemistry? And let me come back to my friend that, you know, there are a hug goes a long way. You know, a good hug goes a long way. A handhold goes a long way to still feel connected with someone, but you want to be careful not to get all these emotional chemicals coming out that you're making a decision that is clouded. Back here, yes. I'm ready for it. Bring it. Okay?
Because we are physical beings, and so there's a connection that needs to be made with a guy mm-hmm. above and beyond that friendship with him, mm-hmm. or you're not going to have a chance to develop it before. Mm-hmm. So what I discovered is that I kiss early and I kiss often.
Okay.
But I have very strict boundaries on where that goes.
Okay, so how do you...
Let me say he's speaking for himself, not all night.
Okay, so let me... Okay, so you have your boundaries. How... Okay. I don't know what I want to ask is how successful are you with the boundaries, but that isn't a good question to ask. So instead, let me ask, how does that work? Does that work for you? Yes. So let me recap what you've said. So, because you're not on microphone, what he is saying is that there are five aspects to a relationship, and that for men, a physical relationship is really important. Okay. That sometimes you go down that road and you know, you might make mistakes and you have to use the atonement, and that's wonderful. You're correct. What I want to submit to you, though, that I have learned is that I can figure out if I have chemistry with somebody by spending time with them, by having an innocent kiss and a hug at the doorstep, by holding hands. And you can also figure out if a woman, I think another thing you're saying is she going to be, you know, sexually interesting to me? Okay, is she going to have good chemistry with me?
Can I develop that portion of a relationship that deals with the physical aspects of a relationship?
Right. And I submit to you that, you know, my second husband and I, we never went down a path where we had to meet with our bishop, but I can tell you we knew we had chemistry. We knew that when the wedding happened, the magic was going to happen.
But that's not it. In order to get,
to that level of the relationship, there has to be an amount of physical.
I'm telling you that as I have dated and mm-hmm. I go on, and I'm now engaged to be married, and I think I'm going to have a wonderful second marriage.
That's awesome.
That if you ignore that aspect, it will handicap your relationship.
Okay.
Stan, I don't think they're saying to ignore it.
I'm not.
If it was when I was in Marnie's class. Mm-hmm. And Stan and I are good friends.
Mm-hmm. We've had this conversation.
And I don't think that is the point. I think the point is to get other things going first. Yeah. They're not saying don't kiss. So
okay.
I think we need to step back and go, what is she saying?
Yeah.
If you start with the physical, the other four will get handicapped.
Right, right. Okay, so
have this balanced approach to a relationship.
Yeah.
And I think we just are in danger if we preach this other notion.
So here's what I'm actually, so because I only have 10 minutes left and I want to talk about the actual making a decision for marriage, let me tell you what I'm saying, okay? In my situation, my ex-husband and I had chemistry. We're still good friends. We're still, and I could tell you, unfortunately, we're not married, but so we can't have that chemistry, but we had chemistry. What I'm talking about, though, is that when there were issues that needed to be dealt with, when I wasn't feeling the peace of the spirit, that physical relationship would cloud my uneasiness. That's what I'm saying. That physical relationship would cloud my uneasiness. And bless his heart, he was trying to be helpful. Let me hug you. Let me kiss you. Let me make it better. And so these emotions would be released. And I think I would see that as, oh yeah, it's all fine. But really, the peace of the spirit was trying to get through to me and say, there are some issues that you guys need to deal with before you move forward. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying the physical relationship is not important. It's very important. What I'm saying is don't let it cloud the other four aspects of your relationship. Okay? Did you want to say a quick comment? Okay, two quick comments.
And looking back, you would, the spirit was trying to tell you, the girl's going to be trying to tell you, this is wrong, I shouldn't be this person. But the emotion, the romantic relationship got in the way of that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have married.
Yes, yes. So how could something, literally, you guys, what I just read and what Kelly and Marnie discussed last year, that was me. I was an emotional wreck about, I mean, everything looked perfect on paper. It all seemed perfect on paper, but something wasn't right in my gut is the only way I can explain it. And so then what would happen is he had this ability to calm me with the chemistry that we had. And that's very humbling and embarrassing to tell you, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's not important. What I'm saying is you have to let that be an aspect, but there has to be other aspects, okay? I want to let you have your comment and then.
My comment is this. I just got married in March, but when my husband and I got married, I was listening to this gentleman here saying not all men are like that, because they're not. I was married and divorced and then widowed, and now I'm remarried. And my second husband and I got together, the one that I am widowed from, and well, we got married.
Which is really hard, which applaud, that's really hard to do in the church, yeah.
Before I got married to him, you know, in fact, I'm like, okay, come on, you know, because, well, you know, it's, you know, exactly, but there is a point you're saying, you know, the understanding. We know each other, we love each other, we want to be with each other no matter what. Mm-hmm. The physical aspect wasn't so important that mm-hmm. we could do that. I mean, first of all, you know, with the just...
Yeah. And listen, I'm not an expert at this because that's just it. I got caught in that trap. Like, I don't know going forward exactly how it's going to look for me, but I know that I'm going down these steps. I'm setting ground rules. I know from experience what I want. And trust me, I think another thing to your point is it's very important to know if you're about, we're going to transition to kind of making the decisions to if you're going to get married. It is important to know if your spouse has the ability and is interested in a sexual relationship. I mean, that is something that needs to be talked about as you get closer to marriage, and that is important. I'm just saying that you can figure that out about a person without going so far as to lose your temple recommend. You can do that. I believe you can do that. I want to say more, but I'm going to be careful. So, okay. Yes, back here.
Comment on this idea of the physical affection and body judgment. So does that mean if my wife wants to buy me a car, I can just kiss her and tell her?
I mean, it is interesting to ask what you're missing. You know, what are you missing in your life? But anyways, okay. All right, let's go on to, what are we going on to? Our wedding bells ringing decision time. Okay, this is wisdom coming out of my mouth. I want you to listen very carefully, okay? When you first get married as a young pup, maybe here at BYU or whatever, it's a startup. It's two people. They got nothing. They got no experience. They're going to build something together. And it's beautiful and wonderful. And they make all these mistakes, but the mistakes are fun and romantic and all of that. When you come into a marriage, it's an acquisition or a merger. And I don't know if you've ever been involved in something like that. I've been involved in a company that was acquired and went public and all that. It takes years of due diligence for them to make that kind of a commitment. And so, you know, we went on some family vacations together as the two families. We had some activities together. You know, we did some things. I'm not sure that it was enough. It's a merger. This is a situation where you're not just bringing two people together, but you're bringing two lives together. Okay? One of the things I learned about myself is that I wasn't ready to make that acquisition. I got married at 20 months out. I used to like to say 2 years out, but I need to be real. It wasn't 2 years. It was 20 months. And I didn't actually start to feel like myself and that my life didn't pivot, that my entire life did not pivot around the fact that I was a widow until I was about 5 years out. Okay? When I got married the second time, I loved him. I loved him. I still love his kids. The thing is, though, is that I wasn't willing to give everything to him. Now I'm 7 years out, and I can tell you that if I were to do it again, I'm willing to give up my last name. Well, I'm willing to give up my last name. I'm willing to give up my career. I'm willing to relocate. I'm willing to make changes in my life for a relationship. But at 20 months, I wasn't ready to do that. Okay? So those are some red flags as well. And again, I had good excuses. I'm a realtor. So I said to my husband, I'm like, I can't change my name. Like, professionally, I can't change my name, you know? And so he was making excuses for me just as I was making excuses for him. So this is so important to remember. A second marriage, and the problem in the church is that we tend to get married fast because of the covenants that we've made in the temple. But I can tell you, I'm just going to tell you, sex is not a reason to get married. It's not. And I have a daughter who didn't get married till she was 26. She married a non-member. This man... He was a member when they got married in the temple, but they waited a whole year and stayed worthy. And I mean, if my daughter can do it with her husband who had been a worldly guy, I know that we can do it. Sex is not a reason to get married. Okay, another sign that I wasn't ready was, I know, my time's up. Okay, decision-making process. This is, go. Okay, beware of the signs. Again, I could tell the story of our love story, of my second husband and I's love story, and it would give you goosebumps because there were so many connections down the road that felt like, you know, it was meant to be. The fact of the matter is that was not the spirit. Okay? So all of those connections are nice as a secondary, but primarily, what is your, I always say your gut, what is your gut telling you? Because for me, it's in my stomach is when things are good or bad. Okay? When they show you who they are, believe them. Okay? So if you're with somebody and you're thinking about marrying them and you see them blow their top, you know, have a temper tantrum or whatever, and you start making excuses, oh, we were in a stressful situation, oh, we were, you know, it's because of the stress of not being by each other or whatever. When you start making excuses for the person that you're going to be with, that's a red flag. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. Okay? Experience normal life. We were in a situation where we lived in two separate states. If I had it to do over again, we spent a lot of time together, and we spent holidays together. We spent a lot of things together. But one of the things that I learned after we were married was that the way that our families were different. His family was a little more contentious than my family was. I'm not a yeller unless I'm having fun. I like peace and harmony. And in their home, it was a little bit more contentious. Well, when we were together, you know, when we came together, it was party time. It was vacay mode. And so we never really saw how the two families were actually going to connect and how they were going to interact with each other. So make sure that you go through normal life with somebody. Okay, was there another one? Nope. Okay. Make sure that you're ready to give yourself 100% to your next spouse. If you're not ready to absolutely put that husband that you love or that wife that you love on that shelf of the eternities and give yourself 100%, then you're probably not ready. Okay, here's another one. My son, so we had scheduled to get married in May, okay? And our whole family was going to be together in August. We got married in May in San Diego. Our whole family was going to be together in August in San Diego. And so my oldest son called me and said, Mom, what about waiting till August? If you waited till August, we could save plane fare, we could save da-da-da. And I made excuses because I was worried. Frankly, I was worried. I don't know how I'm going to get from May to August and keep my temple recommend. Okay? This is the thing that I learned. If it's right in May, it's right in August. And I'll tell you, interestingly enough, about June, July, I started to learn some things that we both started to learn some things. But I started to learn some things that had I waited till August, I could have saved myself and my family some heartache, okay? So if it's okay, and if it's right in May, it's right in August. Don't be in too much of a hurry. The other thing I just want to say is I want to come back to one of the things that we do as widows and as we go through things is we have a tendency, this really doesn't have to do a lot with my presentation, but we have a tendency to want to stay away from the church because we don't feel like we fit in. We don't feel like, we feel like the comments that they make are, you know, can be offensive. And that was really difficult for me when I chose to stay away from the church. Be close to the church, be close with your bishop. Make sure that you have people in the church that can be your sounding boards and that you can be close with. And then let me just end again with this. All of these things that happen in a relationship that feel magical and these connections and everything, they are the spice of a relationship. But when it comes down to actually getting yourself into a relationship, listen to the Spirit. However the Spirit speaks to you, listen to the Spirit. Do you feel that same warm fuzzy when you're not making out with him or her? Do you feel that? That was the thing for me, is that I thought that everything was lining up, but now that I look back, it wasn't lining up. because there were excuses that were being made for me, I was making, and I was being clouded by other things. So anyways, that's my story. I feel safe sharing it with you all. One of the things that I have really learned is that even though I made some mistakes, even though I got a divorce, I have the opportunity to, I gave birth to 6 children, I now have 8. He has let me continue to mother them, and one of them lives with me. And so maybe this is the journey I needed to go through for to have that blessing in my life. And also, I feel safe sharing with you my most humblest year I've gone through, because you guys understand grief and sorrow and all of that. So I leave those words with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.